this.
Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crack enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass, 95 of Sports Hub. Once again, a reminder, it's Big Jim Murray in the A-hole chair all this week alongside the sports vulture himself, Adam Jones, in for Maz. Marshall Hook with us today and tomorrow as well. It is simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, this show, and it being a Tuesday means we're with Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Gives you some of the best, if not the best, Patriots coverage in and around the area. Sign up now. Makes for a great holiday gift, bostonsportsjournal.com. Greg, you want an apology from that that sect of oversensitive Patriots fans who mocked you for saying this team has a gimmick offense? I believe you said that the following Tuesday after the Packers win, which at the time I thought was a good win, but I can understand where you were coming from, because if I was in your shoes, or maybe a lesser man would demand it, they would pound the table and say, where's my apology? Where's my apology? Because the truth is, outside of the touchdown to Chris Hogan, who, again, by the way, as you said yesterday, Jones, you can see all the next-gen stats, he's literally the most wide-open offensive player.
19 yards of separation.
To score.
From the closest defender.
This whole season. If you extrapolate that one touchdown, and it did happen, and credit to Josh McDaniels, I thought it was a really good play. If you extrapolate that, this team has scored 9 points in their last six quarters. 9 points. So, it was a nicely developing play. It worked out for them, but still kind of gimmicky. They don't have that 9 points. And what is the bigger issue here with the offense? Does it start and end with Brady?
Well, no. I mean, I think if Brady had, first team All Pro Rob Gronkowski at his fingertips, and then in his prime Julian Edelman, and a Josh Gordon from his prime, then I think the offense would be a lot more highly functioning. I mean, but I think it's half talent. I think it's half Brady. That Brady's, you know, he was the MVP last year. I mean, run away. By this time in the year, Tom Brady was the no-brainer MVP. Where's he now on the top quarterback list? Like, I think we did it out before. I think he's right around 5-6. It's between, like, him and Luck for, like, 5-6. You know, right in that area. So everybody offensively, in terms of the skill talent, has taken a step back. And so that's why the offense is taking a step back. I mean, just consider that. Okay, their four longest plays in Sunday's game was the Hogan
touchdown.
You know, busted coverage. One guy was playing man. Everybody else was playing cover three. Great scheme by Josh. You know, good game plan play. Deep middle to Edelman.
Is that where they smashed into each other?
Smashed into each other.
Okay.
And then there was another 25-yarder deep right to Edelman. I forget that play. It was earlier in the fourth quarter. And then the only other 20-plus play that they had was the pass interference penalty. That was it. So three of the four top plays were basically handed to you by the Steelers. So, I mean, that's where they are offensively at this point. I mean, just, you know, we've seen it against an average. And what I said was against a average to good defense, this team is going to have trouble moving the ball. And you could see it on Sunday. Every 10 yards, it looks like everybody has to work so hard to get that 10 yards, to get that first down. And it's just, it's been a big issue for this team.
You've now had enough time to digest the All-22 film. And after the game, Rob Gronkowski essentially said, well, I was double covered. What do you want me to do? Was that the case? Was Gronk double covered? Because that certainly wasn't an issue in the past. Brady would go to him when he was.
Does that even matter?
When he was Gronk, not Robert James Gronkowski, just another tight end. It really didn't matter. But overall, was he doubled for most of that game?
It wasn't anything unusual. Most of it was there was a safety over the top of him. And a lot of times, you know, they didn't do a whole lot of the detached from the formation stuff where you have to put the team in a little bit more of a bind. I mean, just because I don't think Brady has a lot of confidence with Rob on those type of routes at this point. He's better in line where he has some options. You know, he would basically run down the field and there would be – the Steelers played a lot of two deep safeties. And both teams basically dared the other team to run. And the Patriots – were okay at it. They just kept stubbing their foot with penalties. That just kept killing them and getting them off schedule where the Steelers didn't have that problem. So to me, that's where the big difference was.
When you look at Gronk, you know, for three quarters, he's, I think it was one target through the first three quarters. Mm-hmm. then Brady really started to pepper him, especially on the final drive. I think he had two catches on the drive leading up to the pick. Why all of a sudden? I mean, if they're so sure that it's not working all game, or that the Steelers are taking him away, or he's internally, they'll acknowledge he's lost a step or something, why all of a sudden in gotta have it spots is Brady still looking in there and forcing it there?
Because it's desperation, and he's 6'6" with huge hands, and you know, nobody can really match up with him, you know, in a one-on-one type like post-up situation. So, you know, Brady is like, well, I have as good a chance there as any, so that's where I'm going to go with the ball. And you know, it just hasn't.
He won't do that until it's a must-have situation. He won't do that earlier in the game. Like, is that out of preservation for Gronk?
Not that I can tell. I mean, I just think that a lot of it is, you know, Brady will look after the snap, and if it's not there, or he doesn't think it's going to be there, then
he'll move on.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, and there have been issues with that. You remember that? Remember that play that Brady underthrew Edelman. And I think a lot of people want a pass interference. It was down the field, down the right side of the field. Edelman put his hand up a lot earlier. This is another example of Brady not seeing the field like he normally does. Normally, that ball would have been out. Edelman would have caught it, kept running, maybe had a touchdown. Brady threw it late, just like he did to Gronk over the middle. Like, it's just the timing of everything is just, it's not working.
And just quickly on Julian Edelman, because you mentioned something in the post game that I do with Beadle when you do your normal spot there, and you've mentioned a couple of times today the foot. You think when the season ends, we're going to find out what on Edelman?
I think that he has that same left foot fracture that he had a few years ago.
Back at the end of 2015.
Something's going on there, whether it's, I don't know if a screw needs to be taken out, like a la Kyrie Irving, or there's a new fracture there. I think between Edelman and Patrick Chung, those two guys are completely gutting it out. Chung's left shoulder looks like it's hanging on by a string.
He was getting up slow from every play.
Excruciating pain, and he would never come out. Neither of those guys ever. I mean, Julian came out for a little bit, then he went right back in. This time it was the right foot where he got pinned under on the interception. It's just guts and guile from those guys.
10 questions with Greg Bedard coming up next here on Felger and Mass.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
My favorite segment of the week during the football season. 10 questions with Greg Bedard here on Felger and Mazz. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Big Jim and Jones in for the guys today and the rest of the week. Jimmy Stewart, my understanding is we have best of buzzer options for this 10 questions.
That is correct.
Ooh, let's hear it.
Why would the Orioles starting these games? Why would they do that to us? Why?
Classic Jones. Good question. The Red Sox bitching about the Orioles. Go ahead.
And I kept going, what defense are we in where Malcolm's not on the field?
Oh, that's great. Go ahead.
Agenda-free Friday on Felger and Mazz. Yeah.
Man-child has to sing along to all the beds. Go ahead.
Stop listening to Greg Bedard. He doesn't know diddly.
Guy from Boston with a biased opinion.
Thank
on
you.
Bedard. Go ahead.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
I don't.
I do.
I don't.
Good bitchiness there from those two.
What do you think? I don't get the question.
Oh, just Mike at his worst.
Felger, how about those OTAs? I guess Brady doesn't need those OTAs.
Yep. He's apologizing. Uh-huh. He needs the apology. Any more? Uh-huh. Is that it?
Toronto, they blow. Tampa, they blow. The Orioles, they suck.
Maz, I think that had more to do with the Red Sox and their buffed-up record by the end of the year. All right, whatever. Pick one.
And I kept going, what defense are we in where Malcolm's not on the field?
Question number one, Greg. The year is 2021. Which team in the AFC East has the best quarterback, and who is that quarterback?
The Patriots. Tom Brady.
Jones?
Wow. Mostly because I think the other teams are still inept in 2021, just like they have been for the previous 20 years.
I'm going to go with the Jets and Sam Darnold. And I don't think Brady's a terrible answer, by the way, but as poor as Darnold's looked this year, Trubisky stunk in year one, got better in year two. Goff stunk in year one, got better in year two. I like Darnold coming out. I'll go with Sam Darnold.
Marshall. And I'm going to go with Josh Allen for pretty much the same reason there. I think he's just looked a little more polished than the Jets guy, and Tom Brady will have been retired for 2 years by that point.
Yeah, again, 2021, that seems a little bit away for Brady. I would go with Darnold and Jones's answer there. Question number two.
What do you think? I don't get the question.
Of course Mike didn't. Do the Patriots have anything to worry about with the Bills and Jets in their last two games of the season?
The Bills, yes. They're still pretty decent defensively, and anytime a quarterback can run the ball, the Patriots vomit all over themselves. I mean, it's part of it's because they don't cover the right gaps, and it gets technical football. But the Patriots have a lot of issues with that. I mean, Mitch Trubisky couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat, yet he still was running all through the Patriots defense and kept them in that game and to where they lost by a yard.
That's a good point on the Trubisky thing. I forgot about that. Jones?
December, it's the Bills and the Jets. No, they will not have trouble. No.
I'm going to go with they could have trouble with the Bills. More of a, well, we lost these two games, but now the Bills are coming to town, so we'll be fine. And then they lose.
Question three.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
I don't.
I do.
I don't.
It's still mathematically in the hunt, but it's unlikely the Cleveland Browns make the playoffs. That said, had anyone other than Hugh Jackson as head coach taken care of this team at the beginning of the season, would the Browns actually be in the playoffs?
Absolutely. I mean, he was that bad. I mean, offense is his thing, and the offense was terrible. I mean, look at what's his name now?
Greg Williams?
No, the quarterback.
Oh,
Baker Mayfield. I mean, he's been incredible the last couple weeks.
Jones?
I used to like Hugh Jackson. I thought he did good work with Dalton in Cincinnati, and obviously he's gotten a million second chances beyond that in Cleveland specifically. Yeah, I think any other coach with that talent there, and they have some talent. They're not the most talented team in the league, but between Mayfield and Chubb and some of the guys they have on defense, that's a talented enough team where they should be, yeah, in the mix, certainly, with anyone other than Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, no. Because to assume that is true is to assume that Greg Williams is a passable head coach.
They've been better.
In the NFL.
They've been better.
I'm refusing to admit that, so I'm going to say that they were just getting better anyway.
All right, some stubborn hook right there. I like
they
it.
They obviously put a bounty on something.
Yeah. All right, let's next question.
Stop listening to Greg Bedard. He doesn't know diddly.
No, stop it. Question number four. Last night's Saints win over the Panthers featured a potentially game-changing fumble by the Saints into the end zone. Gave the ball back to Carolina with a chance to steal it. Is the fumble out of the end zone for a touchback the dumbest rule in football? And if not, what is?
Yes, it is, and I still don't understand why it's a rule. I don't get it.
I'm going no, and I would do this as a blanket rule across all sports. Let's let people roid up a little bit more than we do. That's what I would say. Let's keep it out in the open and let people roid up. That way we don't have to worry about guys getting popped for four games here and there, and you know, we can maybe keep guys healthier and running people over. So give me more steroids. Right,
Jones wants the Lyle Alzado Raiders
yes,
back.
Go exactly.
Ahead. I really wanted the answer to be no, and I couldn't think of anything, so I went to Google, and I went to like seven different links for dumbest rules in the NFL, and this was number one on all of them. So yeah. It's a decisive yes.
It used to be the catch rule, right? Didn't everybody hate the catch rule before? Yep. So the NFL at least cleaned that up. Maybe they'll clean this up too.
But this is the worst rule in the NFL, and it blows my mind that they don't look at this thing. You fumble 1 inch inside the pylon, you keep the ball on the 1 inch the other way, the other team gets it at the 20.
Right.
How does that make any sense?
Well, the NFL finally got rid of the double sort of standard for, you know, it was a different rule for if you caught the ball in the field of play, but if you caught the ball at the goal line or around the end zone, like it was a different rule. They finally got rid of that. So now it's time to get rid of the double standard rule on this one.
And everybody go, oh, where do you spot the ball? I don't know, where he fumbled? That shouldn't be that hard.
Well, the defense doesn't even have to recover the fumble. Why should possession change?
Right.
It makes zero sense. Oh, I hate it. Next.
Felger, how about those OTAs? I guess Brady doesn't need those OTAs. Blah!
Despite the fact that the New Orleans Saints, who won last night's game, they're now 12-2, the current one seed in the NFC, Drew Brees, the quarterback, has sucked and blown for three straight weeks. Why is that, Bedard?
Maybe because I played three road games in a row. But
they all weren't outdoors.
I know, but it's a little tougher sledding, away, especially for a dome team. But hey, at least they went 2-1 on the road and 7-1 on the road during the season, unlike some other teams.
Jones,
I'm not going to give Breeze the benefit of the doubt if I'm not going to give Brady the benefit of the doubt. Like, if we're talking about Brady at 41 and he could fall off a cliff, why can't Breeze? So it's late in the year. I think outdoors has something to do with it, whether it's in a dome or not. If you look at Breeze's road record really all year, there's some poor games even earlier in the season. I don't know. If Brady can lose it at 41, I think Breeze can lose it at 39 too.
Yeah, he's an old man. That's why. That's all it is.
That's the answer. Brady started to suck in December last year. This is why Breeze is starting to suck. He's old. Next.
Toronto, they blow. Tampa, they blow. The Orioles, they suck.
Fair assessment of the American League East, man. Question number six. Of these teams in the current playoff picture, who is the least dangerous? The Patriots, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Minnesota, or Seattle?
I am going to go with the Patriots because they have the worst defense out of all of them.
Wow. Jones?
Taking little pot shots at the Patriots.
Well, I mean, the saying is defense travels in the postseason. And if they had an MVP Tom Brady and a first team All-Pro Rob Gronkowski, I probably wouldn't say that. But this year, they still have the not good defense, but they don't have the other stuff.
I'll go with Seattle. Like, I feel like you can't trust a Pete Carroll team. I think last week was a great example of that. All of a sudden, oh, look at Seattle. Look what they're doing. They're getting better. They're rounding into four. That's a team you want to avoid. And then they lose to the Niners. So I don't trust Pete Carroll this time of year. I don't trust that team. I'll go with the Seahawks.
Marshall, I'm going to go with Baltimore just on the quarterback play. I mean, he's been a starting quarterback for a handful of games, and I just don't trust that in the playoffs yet.
Greg's right. It's the Pats. Next.
And I kept going, what defense are we in where Malcolm's not on the field?
Good question.
Speaking of the Patriots in the playoffs, if they are to remain the 3 seed, who's the tougher opponent for them to face on Wild Card Weekend? The 6 seed Baltimore Ravens or the 6 seed Indianapolis Colts?
It's a tough one. I mean, you can't go wrong with either one because the Colts have actually played really good pass defense this year, and they have Andrew Luck. But I'm going to go with the Ravens because of the running quarterback. Their defense is better. And I just think that's a tough formula for these Patriots.
I'm going Ravens for that exact reason. They can't stop the run. So now what? They're gonna stop the team that's running for 250 yards every week
Ray
or whatever
Rice again?
Whatever Baltimore is doing. Right. And there's a couple of nice parallels with Baltimore too. And sometimes these things just work out this way. Last time you were this terrible of a team in show parlance, you sucked and blew. It was 2009 against the Ravens, and McDaniels wanted Lamar Jackson, and to have Lamar Jackson come in and beat the Patriots, that would be poetic justice. So Baltimore.
I agree with all of that, with the exception of the fact that Andrew Luck is Andrew Luck, and I think he'll be harder to deal with in the postseason.
He'll throw a stupid pick.
Next.
Why would the Orioles starting these games? Why would they do that to us? Why?
I love when Jones does voices. Question number 8. Tom Brady said the refs calling the holding penalties tighter in Sunday's loss to Pittsburgh. There seemed to be an uptick on calls, both sides of the ball, holding all over the place in Week 15. Why the decision to put emphasis on these calls now, this late in the season?
A, I don't believe Brady. That was not said. Because the Patriots had blatant holding calls. All of them were legit. They were tackling people up front.
I like this, Bedard. I like what you're doing.
I told you I was going to be salty and cranky. Yeah, it was bad football.
I had forgotten about that. Real salty.
He hates my long, wordy questions, too.
On the holding calls, I mean, I don't know. I think if we're talking defensive holding, I think that one is self-explanatory. If we're talking offensive holding, I don't have a great explanation for it. You would think that the NFL wants the offenses on the field longer. They want more points. They want more fantasy points. So I really don't have a good theory. I feel like the NFL, other than them just being stupid and not knowing what they should want for their league, I don't have a good reason.
You've stolen my answer. It's the NFL is the NFL, and the NFL is stupid. And why not just go ahead and change some rules near the end of the season?
That's what it is. They can't get out of their own way. Next.
Agenda Free Friday on Felger and Maz. Yeah.
You have to sing everything, Jim. Yeah. Question number 9. This is like a paragraph. Theoretically speaking, Tom Brady could still end up winning another Super Bowl and immediately retiring, much like how washed up sidecar Peyton Manning did with the Broncos in 2015. If that doesn't happen, what's a worse way to go out in your final game as a great quarterback? Concussed and knocked out cold like Brett Favre, or thoroughly embarrassed and demolished in a 62-7 playoff loss like Dan Marino?
Why do you got to bring up Marino like that? Why can't we talk about 1984? It's Marino, obviously. I was a Dolphins fan back then. I lived it. I had to watch my favorite player limp off the field 62-7 to the freaking Jaguars.
They at least beat Seattle crushing. The week before.
It was all gone.
Yeah. Jones?
I would also go with losing 62-7. Like, at least if you're
humiliating.
At least if you're Brett Favre, you got hurt, you got knocked out cold. It's like, okay, there's an excuse. You know, I got knocked out. It's not necessarily the way you want to go out, but 62-7, non-competitive.
Patriots fans do not want to see Tom Brady going off the field losing 62-7
right.
to the Ravens.
Now,
or even worse, maybe the Browns. I mean, that would be the equivalent.
If you're knocked out cold with an injury, it's not easy to move TB12 right. membership.
That might not be good for Brady. A concussion. Where's the concussion juice? I mean, if he's done and he's got to go sell TB12 concussion juice, does it work if he's lying on the ground concussed? I don't think so.
Maybe he could say retroactively it would have worked.
Oh, if he had had more concussion juice?
If I could have had more concussion juice, it would have worked.
So which way are you going, Hooks?
I'm going to go the concussion is worse because that proves the concussion juice doesn't work.
Final question.
What do you think? I don't get the question.
It is Patriots-Bills this Sunday. So, besides the obvious answer of a certain running back who committed double murder, who is the most detestable Buffalo Bill of all time?
I had a tough time. I went Cornelius Bennett just because, I don't know, I didn't like him on the field.
Kind of an a-hole.
Yeah.
Not a big fan. I'll go with Thurman Thomas. And maybe this is just because he
forgot his helmet in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. It's just, I don't know. The Patriots were in that division growing up. He didn't always have the best games against the Patriots, but I feel like I was always rooting against him. So between forgetting your helmet and, you know, being on a team that was pretty dominant in the early 90s, I'll go with Thurman Thomas.
I wanted to go Doug Flutie because I hate Doug Flutie and everything he stands for. But in the end, I went with the obscure choice of Terrell Owens, who played for the Bills for 1 year, and most people probably forgot that ever even happened.
Drew Bledsoe, no.
Well, Flutie's a good answer, as is Terrell Owens. I forgot about that cup of coffee he had there.
Did Zolak play for the Bills?
There's one. No, but there's another quarterback that's the obvious answer. Rob Johnson, who still to this day is bitter about the fact that he lost his job.
Wait, he is? Movies.
Oh, yeah, no, look that up. Google that. Google it, Bedard. He's still bitching about that to this day. There was someone that was like, hey, where is he now? And he's still mad about
it. Didn't he get to start the playoff game that they lost?
Yeah. Because Wade Phillips is an idiot.
Yeah, what's he bitter about?
But more than anything else, because you'll get this reference, Jones, you're a Seinfeld person. He looks exactly like Tony the male bimbo Seinfeld. Step off, George. He looks just like him, and I could never get that out of my head. He looks just like Dan Cortez.
He's got to step off.
So concludes 10 questions with Bedard here on Felger and Maz. Here's Hook with the headlines, and then I promise your calls. You want to talk to Greg next here on 98.5 of Sports Up.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub, simulcast, NBC Sports Boston. Again, no Felger, no Maz. You get me, Jim Murray, alongside the sports vulture Adam Jones all week. Marshall Hook with us as well. And again, it's a Tuesday during the football season. Means we're joined by Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, getting his insight and analysis on Sunday's 17-10 Patriots loss to the Steelers. Now is your time to talk with Greg at 617-779-0985. Brandon in Roxbury, you're next up here on Felger and Maz.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my phone call. If I can just be really quick.
Sure.
Okay. Now, when I was a kid going to the barbershops, I used to hear the guys complain about, you know, the South's too old and they're not spending money. But I think Deion Lewis was at his best when he said, hell yeah. That's what happens when you go cheap, you get your A kicked. And it's kind of true. Now, look at this. Chandler Jones, Darrell Revis, Tlaib, Amendola, Deion Lewis, and to take the pressure off of Gronkowski, never paid Martellus Bennett. So now, you know, you got billionaires and millionaires not spending money on these players, but if you spent the money, it would just wouldn't even put a dent in your pocket. Spend the money, get the players, the pressure will be off of Tom Brady.
Thanks, Brandon. So this kind of sounds a little bit like what I was harping on yesterday, Greg. How much of this is on Bill Belichick, the GM, in terms of some of the personnel decisions he's made, not just with drafting, but with some of these free agents he's brought in, like Adrian Claiborne, who's looked completely useless, or trading for Danny Shelton, and he's been a healthy scratch for three straight weeks?
A lot of it. And this team just, you know, isn't good enough, and it should be better. And I don't have, you know, Amendola, Deion Lewis, like, I don't really have a problem with that. I mean, look, I'm of the mind that, you know, running backs are interchangeable. And, like, you know, the drafting of Sony Michel in the first round, to me, didn't have anything to do with Tom Brady getting old. It didn't have anything to do with becoming more run-focused and they need to, you know, do play action and all that stuff. What it was they like what they had with Deion Lewis. They wanted a back similar to him. And they decided that spending a first-round pick or a late first-round pick, I mean, late in the first round, it's not really a first-round pick. Those guys don't have first-round grades. It's more of a – he has a second-round grade on him, but it's just there's 32 draft picks in the first round. It was about trying to get the guy closest to Deion Lewis. And so instead of taking a chance on a third or fourth or undrafted guy, they decided to up their odds that it would work by drafting Sony Michel. And I don't have a huge problem with that. The bigger issue for this team is, you know, you let these guys go. This is the NFL. You have to let guys go. The issue is you need to have guys coming up through the draft, and their drafts have just been not nearly good enough of late, and they don't have those second, third-year guys that should be populating your team. I mean, you know, you think it's bad now. If this year's draft class doesn't get healthy and contribute next year, it's going to be really bad.
So maybe you just answer my next question. Jim and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday. You know, Curran, months ago, wrote about how the bill's going to come due on the dynasty, right?
Yeah.
How, and I know I don't totally agree with the last caller. It's not that they pay no one. They just paid Shaq Mason. So it's not that they pay nobody. How's the bill coming due when they've let so many guys go? Like, who exactly have they paid and focused these big deals on where they can't bring back a Trey Flowers like we were talking about yesterday?
I don't think Tom meant literally like it was about money or paying people. I think he just meant that.
I think it was a factor.
Yeah, maybe, but I think his overall point was that, look, these guys are coming to the end. I mean, franchise guys are getting older. They're coming to the end. I mean, between Gronkowski is no longer himself. Edelman's no longer himself. Brady has taken a step back, and who knows if he can regain that and get back into the MVP conversation next year. So in terms of that, the bill's coming due. I mean, because they're going to have to make decisions on some of these guys. McCourty's the same thing. They're going to have to make decisions on these guys, and you know, you would think that they would be okay if you could say, okay, they have this guy in the pipeline. Now, that's why I think Obi's here. I think Duke Dawson, you know, they're going to be counting on. Juwan Bentley is a Dante Hightower replacement next year. So you could see some of the things at work, but I didn't take it as, you know, literally it's about the cap and what they're paying guys. I took it as just
metaphorically, you know, speaking.
Yeah,
you don't think they're in a tough financial spot next year?
I haven't really looked at it. I mean, you know, they have some tough decisions to make, but, you know, some of these guys, I don't think they're really that tough. I mean, Gronkowski cannot come back at his current salary. Devin McCourty cannot come back at his current salary. Dante Hightower cannot come back at his current salary. Trent Brown, I don't know if I'm paying him. I drafted a first-round tackle. Marcus Cannon is not playing at his current salary. I mean, there's a lot of dead weight on this team. Guys who are not playing up to their contract, and that's the bigger issue.
I like this question from Jack in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jack, for Greg Bedard.
Yeah. You said earlier that they didn't have anybody that could run past anybody, but what about that guy that was a first-round draft pick that has 4.29 speed, Dorsett?
Why has Philip Dorsett also disappeared from this team's offense?
I've been one of his biggest cheerleaders since training camp. He's produced every time he's on the field. I think he's catching balls at an 84% rate. I don't know if him and Malcolm Butler, like, you know, are on the same protocol or something. I don't know what the deal is.
Let's go to Liz on the landline. You're next with Greg Bedard here on Phil Grimes. Hi, Liz.
Hi. I seem to remember in past years, on 4th and 1, Brady would go for it, and I just haven't seen it that much this year. Is it because he's too sore?
So is there any second guessing on the 4th and 1 that they had this time around against Pittsburgh?
Before halftime, that one? Where Patterson was down. They originally had the first down. Patterson was down. It was like 40 seconds to go. 4th and 1, I'd say like their own 40.
And look, maybe I should have done my homework on this, but at least from a feel standpoint, it doesn't seem like they're doing the QB sneak with Brady as much as they have in the past this season, or at least in the last month and a half. Is that because he's banged up? Have you seen anything that they're not, you know, doing what has worked the best for them in short yardage situations?
Well, I would say, in my opinion, it's that the other teams have done a really good job of putting guys on either side of the A-gap, and
that's just a numbers game for Brady, right?
If he looks at it
and he says, there's guys there, I'm not going to run the
game. Yeah, normally he's been like, I get up to the line, okay, there's a gap over there, I'm going to go slide into that, and it won't be that big a deal. I think teams have finally, after years, caught on to what's going on. But I also think part of it is, you know, Brady and the whole lower body thing. You need to drive with your legs in that circumstance, and I think I just don't think that's optimal right now for him.
Well, some people's confidence is shaken in Tom Brady with the decision making that he's had the last couple of weeks. What about Bill Belichick? He has some, I think it's must hear audio from his conference call earlier today. We're going to play that for you. I want to get Greg's thoughts on that coming up in our long commercial free segment with Greg Bedard. It's Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mazz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub. The
Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The
Sports Hub. Just a trying to throw it away and didn't.
Was that because you were jostled as you let it go? Or?
Yeah, I was just trying to flick it out of bounds. Didn't want to take a sack and just shouldn't happen.
Final segment with Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, here on Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Tom Brady, post-press conference after the loss to Pittsburgh on Sunday. I said to Jones yesterday, I found that audio jarring.
I wanted to get it out of bounds. My arm won't do it.
Yeah. Translation, put it through the Felger and Mazz translator. I'm old. My arm doesn't work as good as it does anymore. Old man shakes his fist at the cloud. But while my confidence might be shaken in my favorite athlete I've ever had the pleasure of rooting for in my life, the greatest to ever play the position, Tom Brady, and others, I think, feel maybe the same way, or at least a little bit concerned because of the decision-making we've seen from Brady the last couple of weeks, the end of the first half against Miami, and, well, most of the game against Pittsburgh, or at least bailing out of that last throw of the game, is Bill Belichick's confidence shaken when it comes to his quarterback? He was asked during his usual early week conference call earlier today. Here's Mike Giardi. Oh God! You know, I don't want to like go off Bill, like Felger does with this, but with the clicking, the clicking and the clacking of the keyboard. Can one of you stop, please? On that, you go ahead.
I think it's Bill.
So on the third down play at the end of the game, James White was open underneath. I'm just curious. I know Tom yesterday talked about concern about if he threw it there, not having enough time to get the next player, being too hurried. Was there a preference for him to throw the ball in the end zone? Edict would be too strong a word, or do you think that maybe was a possibility to check underneath to White with that many seconds on the clock?
Pause for a second. You know what? I'm now 100% on your side, Greg. I thought maybe last week when you said this is actually Bill hitting the keyboard, I was like, oh, no, it's just probably some pain in the ass reporter. That's definitely Bill. Mm-hmm. It's just him like rubbing his face on the keyboard just to try to put some sound there to annoy everybody else.
Wrapping up a game of Fortnite or something like that? Yeah.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, again, you know, Tom's a very experienced quarterback in our system, very experienced playing against our opponent, Pittsburgh, last week, has excellent judgment and decision-making abilities. And so, again, when the play's called, the ball's not supposed to go to anybody unless it's a screen pass or something like that. The ball's like, we're not trying to throw to one guy. All the questions about why don't we throw to this guy? Because there's five guys out on the pattern and we're going to try to do what's best on that play. In Tom's judgment, which I would not, certainly not second guess his judgment, given the game, the situation and the time and all the things that went into that play, he made the best decision that he thought he could make at that time. And I'm not going to second guess it. You can second guess it if you want to, but nobody knows better at that time. With the ball in his hands, where he feels like he's got the best chance. And if we complete a pass and the clock's running and how much time that's going to take and what we have left, like, that's a split second decision that he's got to make. I don't think anybody will make it better than him. You can second guess it all you want, but that's what the person we have doing that. And we have great confidence in him doing it. It's a tough situation. It's, you know, I don't know if there's a great answer. You know, when you don't have much time and you have to throw to the end zone, or you don't have, you maybe marginally have enough time to throw it somewhere else if you can't get out of bounds. And so that's, the defense has a big advantage in that situation. They played it well, and you know, we weren't able to get in the end zone.
Thanks, Bill.
No 30-second answer or 5-second answer. No snorts, no grunts, no spitting. That's about as much as you'll ever get
answer.
From Bill Belichick. That's a real answer, and it sounded pretty genuine. I find that surprising. And I know, what was it? Was it Ian Rappaport that had the report maybe a week ago saying that everything is kind of thawed between these two, or
yep,
they're getting along a little bit better? Okay, fine. So maybe that proves it right there, or that's partly some proof there. But I don't know. Typically, I would expect like a, you don't have to go ask Tom or something along those lines. Like, no, that was a real genuine defense of the quarterback and his decision making.
Do you think some of that is sensitivity to like the criticism from, I don't know, us and talk media, talk radio, or just fans out there questioning, you know, why Bill is constantly referring us back to, like, do you think he's sensitive to that criticism at all?
I don't know. No, I think that really only just had to do with Brady and the way that he's playing right now, and the odd decision making that he's had again at the end of the first half against Miami and what we saw against Pittsburgh.
Do you believe, Greg, that Bill doesn't tell Tom what to do? When Bill just looks at it and he's like, yeah, well, you know, Tom, you saw it, I'm not going to second guess him. Like, do you believe that? He has to have corrections for Tom, right?
No, he does. He probably filters them, you know, through Josh, or, you know, Josh and Bill talk, and, you know, every position gets evaluated. Everybody gets graded. And they receive a grade. They know.
I'm not going to second guess it. You can second guess it if you want to.
I will.
They know what plays the team wants them to be better on, what mistake they made. So Tom's no different than that. I mean, on that play, I understand that people think that White's open. And, you know, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. Well, first of all, Tom went with, I'm going to pump fake to the left and come back to the right, hope that something's open. By that time, there are rushers on his left. I don't think he can see James White. And the other thing is that you better hope James White gets out of bounds, because if he doesn't, they can't clock it.
Right.
It's already fourth down. So they have to run another play on the fly after everybody being in the end zone. It's dicey at that point. I mean, maybe you could see doing that on second down, but third down, you know, with they snap the ball with 26 seconds left, that would be tough for them to get another playoff and actually have one that works.
Bob in Marlboro, you're next here on Felger and Maz with Greg Bedard. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, I have a bit of a cold. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
I just wanted to think that they're not listening to Belichick now. It's been a long year. It's been a Super Bowl problem, losing all the players. That's another problem. He is a GM. He didn't take care of the replacement problems. So I think it goes on. They're not listening to him anymore.
Thanks, Bob. Feel better. So how much do you make of that? Maybe the message is falling on deaf ears. Because when you see 14
penalties.
This
is Jones's realm.
Well, but for 14 penalties for 106 yards in a game like that, that is essentially must have, or at least typically they do win a game like that and they're a little bit more focused. I don't know, some guy's just not getting it, or they're checked out.
What does that mean? It's my realm. Like, have you ever seen a team all of a sudden like check out on a coach? Like, have you ever seen that ever in all your years covering the league? Have you ever seen it? Any team?
Sure. Okay. But not this team.
Well, why couldn't it happen here? If it happens with other teams, why couldn't that happen here? Like, why couldn't it happen? It did. It happened in 2009. You don't think it happened that year?
No, there were just a bunch of a-holes on that team.
Okay, because
that doesn't mean they were tuning out and like, we're sick of Bill.
Why did Bill say he couldn't get him to play the way he wanted to? Isn't that Bill saying that they checked out? They weren't listening to him?
No, maybe it was just because they were selfish a-holes that didn't want to conform to a team, and it had nothing to do with Belichick. That there was a bad influence in the locker room and it poisoned things, and now that they tuned him out, you can have one and the other. It doesn't have to be both.
Okay. I think it's both with this team, but we'll see.
Let's go to Chris in Taunton, who has a thought on James White. Hi, Chris. You're next here on Felger and Mass.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So when Sony Michel was out in the beginning of the season and kind of towards the middle, we used James White a lot more out of the backfield as in like third down, first down, running. Why don't we do that as much anymore? It's just because Michelle's back. I know he's playing okay. I know we have Rex Burkhead back, but I feel like we were playing a lot better when we actually had James White coming out of the backfield a lot more.
For those that missed it earlier, you had a theory as to why maybe they haven't used James White the last couple of weeks, and it's just more about preservation.
Yeah, I think they were just they previous 2 years he had 99 touches each year. Like, they obviously thought that 100 is about good for somebody his size and things like that. He's up. I think he's at like 180 already. And I think they just wanted to dial it back because they didn't want James White to flame out or get hurt because he's so valuable to this team. But there's no question that I think the offense is better when he's more heavily involved. And I think they get into this whole thing with, we got to give it to the first round pick and we got to get Rex Burkhead back into this. I mean, you know, there has to be a better way for this to work, because they're all talented. They just... another one of these things that they haven't figured out, and it's week 16.
Before we wrap, give us a couple of minutes on this game on Sunday, because based on your 10 questions answer, you think we're getting a game.
Yeah, I just think that, these guys are playing hard for McDermott. They have not given up. I think Allen, they better do a good job of him running the ball, and I assume they're going to have a spy and things like that. So the Patriots will be more prepared for it this time around, but I just think the Patriots, where they are, look, they've scored 16 points in the last six quarters. It's not like they're going and blowing anybody out. That hasn't been happening. So why shouldn't that continue this week?
You got a holiday special or anything going on for Boston Sports Journal?
Yeah, BSJ members get $10 off any gifts or subscriptions they purchase.
All right, go to bostonsportsjournal.com. Makes for a great gift or stocking stuffer, and we won't see you next week. At least I know I won't. So happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Good to see you.
You guys, too. Good to see you.
All right, Greg.
Even you, Jones.
Happy holidays, Greg. Yeah.
I'm not going down to your realm.
Delusional and a stats humper.
Yeah, sports talk Bane.
Yep. You thought darkness was your ally. I have hot takes for you, Bedard.
All right, we are going to pause on the Patriots and the football conversation for right now. If I see you hanging, I promise we'll get to your calls, though, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. But we do want to appease the Bruins fans. A big win for them last night. Talk a little Celtics coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll get to all of that. And again... the Celtics. Turns out they're Hawks, if you don't know that yet. Yes, the Celtics are Hawks for a certain player. We'll touch on that coming up here in the coming hour. Right after the Sports Hub headlines, no commercials. Hook is going to get you caught up, and then talk a little B's and C's and continue to take your Patriots calls here on Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.